did I learn this week?
You learned a lot of things. What did I? You're a very smart woman. Where's that sweater from?
Oh, I don't know.
It's really nice.
Oh, thank you.
It's a good navy.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, we are an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who love a good craft bazaar.
Ooh, where'd you go?
I went to Asbury Park, New Jersey over the weekend, and there was a fabulous bazaar. And Bethany, I'm so mad at myself because I bought you the coolest pair of earrings ever.
I'm excited.
And the vendor, instead of taking cash, let me Venmo her on the spot.
That's amazing.
And I forgot them.
In Asbury Park?
No, I at home. Okay. I forgot your earrings.
That's
at
okay.
Home.
That's okay.
I'm Kathleen.
I'm Bethany.
And this is an Acquired Taste podcast.
Yes, we are the safe space for all weirdos. You belong and you are wanted, which is what I keep saying to my cats.
Yes.
You are wanted.
You're wanted.
You are so wanted.
We're working on our tagline. If you have any ideas for us, please send them our way.
We're going to talk about some listener advice today.
Bethany, what were you up to this weekend?
Saturday's my rest day. Saturday is the day that I rest. Mm-hmm. So Dennis was over. We rested all day. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
We basically sit and listen to podcasts, and we both are...
You guys are nerds.
We're such nerds. We both are self-employed. And
yes.
So when you're self-employed, you feel all this pressure to be working all the time.
Also when you work from home.
Yes. And so we both have a hard time shutting off. And so... Saturdays have kind of turned into the day where we allow each other to rest. And so we really have that luxury of sitting on the couch and not doing anything.
Do you really just sit there and listen to podcasts?
Yeah, and fall in and out of sleep.
Interesting.
It's so nerdy, and most people probably think it's so boring, but it's the nicest. We listen to true crime podcasts and fall in and out of sleep.
I actually kind of like that.
It's wonderful. I
just replace podcast with TV. And that's essentially what Neil and I do.
Yeah. It's really, really great. And then Sunday, we started filming season 2 of Labeled, the web series that I work on.
That's your web series.
Yep. So we were doing that all day. And Dennis is working on that now as well. And so it was a long day.
So you guys work together?
So we work together.
Scandal!
I know. But it was good. It was really, really fun. And what about you, Kathleen? What'd you do this weekend?
On Sunday, I did my favorite Sunday activity ever.
Drinking?
I went to Whole Foods.
Ooh. Did you hook up your Whole Foods with your Amazon?
Yes, absolutely.
So much money off.
So if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can go to Whole Foods and they have all sorts of special deals. And this week, luckily for me, La Croix. LaCroix, Bethany. I always say it, LaCroix, to piss Bethany off. Was on sale.
Did you get pamplemousse?
I got coconut.
Ooh.
They renamed the pamplemousse. They call it grapefruit now.
Oh.
You'll see the pamplemousse every now and then because I think they have like a couple of cases of it left behind. Yeah. But Americans were really confused about the word.
I didn't know what pamplemousse, but I liked it.
It's grapefruit.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense. So they're phasing out the pamplemousse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Salmon was on sale. That made me really happy.
Salmon
LaCroix. So you know what I started watching this weekend? The third season of True Detective on HBO.
Who's in this one?
A man.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you the names of actors.
And his partner?
Good. No, it's a very famous actor. Let me look it up.
Because Rachel McAdams was second season.
Yeah, and Colin...
Firth,
yeah. And that one was terrible.
Oh, yeah, people didn't like it.
And the first season was Woody Harrelson and somebody else.
Is it Matthew McConaughey?
Yes, I think so. So True...
That was like the beginning of the McConaughey's, wasn't it? When he like came back.
The blah, blah, blah.
The Matthew McConaughey's.
Did he go away for a little bit?
I don't know. People say he did. I feel like he's always been around.
Let's see.
P.S. I'm not wearing any makeup. Please, if you get confused where to look, because I know my eyes disappear, just look a little bit above my nose.
True Detective season 3. God damn it. I wish I could be one of those people that like just rattles off actors' names.
No. I can't remember nouns. Nouns are so hard. I was trying to remember Alice and Janney earlier today, and you would have thought that I was trying to like solve how to make a rocket fly past Mars and land on an asteroid.
Mahershala Ali.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like the big name in it, and he's really so good. You should watch that.
Do I need to have seen seasons 1 and 2?
No, it's a different story.
Different case?
Different case.
Okay.
The cases are real creepy.
what's the case this year? Is it, it's one case the whole time?
Yes. And I don't want to bore you by, and I don't want to spoil anything, but okay. I think season one was some of the best television ever made.
Can you explain something to me?
Yes.
Time is a flat circle. Does that come from season one of True Detective?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like it does, and I say it not knowing what it references, but I thought it referenced True Detective season one.
Alexa, who said time is a flat circle?
This might answer your question. In the True Detective episode, The Secret Fate of All Life, Duel says, I saw you in my dream. You're in Carcosa now with me. He sees you. You'll do this again. Time is a flat circle. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. So I see you plugged your Alexa back in.
Yeah.
And it is from True Detective. Interesting.
She knows more about True Detective than I thought. We are not fighting anymore, by the way, Alexa and I.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to hear.
This morning I asked her what the weather was going to be and she told me, and then
It's okay.
And then unprompted, she said, have a nice day.
Mm.
And I was like, you too. And now things are great.
Yes.
I'm feeling good about the robots in my house. I got rid of my carpet robot because Gary was having a hard time getting over the door frames.
Yeah.
And
did you have a iRobot or one of those things?
It was an off-brand Roomba.
Yeah.
And it was a gift from someone else who bought it, and then it kept thinking his dog was a wall.
Yeah.
And so it would not clean. And so then I got it, and it's just, what brand is it? It's like Neato.
I don't know.
I think it's Neato.
I've never had a Roomba, but I was over at a friend's house this weekend who has a baby and a dog, and the Roomba was confused.
Yeah, there's a lot, because here's the thing that at least the Neato robot you have to do is literally pick everything up off the floor, including any cords, because this Neato robot, mine was named Gary, is going to get everything hell or high water. And so it's like, I'm going to suck up this extension cord that's connected to your oven, and all of a sudden your house is on fire. Yeah. So by the time you've lifted everything up off the ground, you may as well have just swept and cleaned yourself, because yeah, it's that much extra that work. And Gary gets like, he does like a cursory sweep, but he certainly doesn't vacuum the same way that a proper vacuum does. No. It's like not really worth it.
They're making one of these Roomba Shark room cleaner floor automatic things now that cost $900.
What?
Because it goes back into its dock, dumps whatever it picked up, and then goes out for more.
What?
Yeah, like an experienced garbage picker.
That's insane.
I know. It's like he's going to eBay to sell the finds.
Who is it who has to keep pushing the rock up the mountain?
Who?
That Greek god who has to keep pushing the rock up the mountain.
Vince Vaughn?
No. It's gonna kill me, and everyone's screaming it, and I'm not gonna Google it because I want my brain to start working again. It's not Odysseus. It's not Theseus. That's not real. It's not Theseus, but it sounds right.
Can I tell you, I've also been having problems with my memory.
Yeah.
Like I was making a list of restaurants for somebody. I couldn't remember one single restaurant that I wanted to tell them. I knew the place where it was and what I've eaten there. And I had to ask my husband. I'm like, what was that place where we had this and that place where we went on that day?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember anything.
I'm really worried it's because of my phone. Is it Odysseus? It's not Odysseus.
I don't know. The Iliad?
Odysseus.
Wait. Poseidon? Aphrodite in the Shell?
Did
you watch the Grammys last night?
I did not, but she looked amazing.
She came out of a dress of a shell. She looked kind of crazy. It was very avant-garde. It wasn't anything you could wear to like run errands at JCPenney or anything.
It's not Odysseus, because the Odyssey is about Odysseus. I'll think of it. Yeah, and she was wearing, someone said on Twitter that it looked like a stack of Ferrero Rochers on her head.
It did. It totally did. Ferrero Rocher is one of my favorite candies.
Delicious.
Also, want to ask you about something.
Tell me.
How do you feel about Brad Pitt showing up at Jennifer Aniston's birthday party?
Is he seeing anyone right now?
He is not.
And she is not either, right?
Right.
Because she got divorced.
And he got divorced.
Yes. I think that I like it.
If they end up back together, my life is complete.
I was standing on my mother's lanai in Florida when I found out that they got divorced.
What's a lanai?
It's like a Florida patio.
Okay.
And I remember my mom announced the news, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston got a divorce. And I just remember thinking, what a shame, because I loved their wedding photos so much, where like her hair is long and she's laughing and they're cutting a cake and his blonde highlights are pristine. So I do. I hope they get back together because that is a that's a long love story.
It's like people who get divorced who then get remarried again in 15 years after being divorced for 15 years.
But then they never stay married.
No, always, yes, they do. No,
they almost always get divorced. No, the
you're wrong
time.
About that. You're wrong.
Elizabeth Taylor divorced the same person twice.
Which one?
Richard Burton. God, everyone's going to kill us. I think Richard Burton was the one she married twice.
I don't know. I missed that Lifetime movie with starring Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did they give her violet contact lenses or nah?
I can't remember.
It was not good.
Did Elizabeth Taylor have violet eyes?
Violet eyes and two rows of eyelashes, which is why she was so beautiful.
Oh, she really was. Mm-hmm. I think. I only know her as like an old person.
In the wheelchair. Mm. She was, if you look at her from like back in the day where she had bangs.
Yeah.
Whoa, she was a stunner. So Kathleen, I'm not wearing makeup because I had a facial.
Oh, how dare you treat yourself so nicely and kindly.
And my the woman said that my skin felt a lot better this month than last month. Mm-hmm. She said it was smoother. She said it also felt like it had more moisture in it. And I am chalking that up to BioClarity.
Well, let me tell you, there's not a single blackhead on your face.
Thank you, because she got rid of all of them. But she said there weren't that many to begin with.
I am very jelly. I love BioClarity because I use their clear skin routine because, you know, adult acne is a thing that happens. It's for combination oily or breakout prone skin. The three-step regimen is so easy and I'm very lazy. I hate washing my makeup off before bed. And this is a system that I can easily stick to. It clears and calms your skin and is packed full of detoxifying nutrients. It's also an antioxidant and includes a super special ingredient that I love, not because it just makes my skin beautiful, but because I love saying it. Do you want to say it with me, Bethany?
Floralux, which sounds like a superhero.
It comes from plants. It's green.
Yep. It's only found in BioClarity and helps detoxify and calm your skin. And like Kathleen said, give some antioxidants and make your skin feel so much better.
I've also noticed that hyperpigmentation that I get from pimples that lasted a long time or that were really deep. My BioClarity cleanse, treat, and restore steps are really, really helping with that.
They help a ton. Your skin looks amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And we love, of course, that they are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, and artificial fragrance-free. And there's a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. And right now for our Acquired Taste listeners, when you purchase a skincare routine, you'll get a free clarifying mask with your order. It's thebomb.com.
And you know it's a good mask because it's spelled M-A-S-Q-U-E, not M-A-S-K. So you know it's a fancy mask.
It's a very fancy mask and it really works. I'm going out for a girls' weekend this weekend. We're going for Galentine's Day and I'm bringing my BioClarity mask with me.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be like, hey, this is the best mask ever. Can you're going to be share like, it?
You can't have any because I love you, but not that much.
I'm going to say, yes, you can get it for yourself at BioClarity.com. Get the mask for free yourself. That's $25 value for free when you order a BioClarity skin routine, but you need to enter our code acquired at checkout. That's A-C-Q-U-I-R-E-D at checkout. So go to BioClarity.com and get your free clarifying mask when you purchase a routine, when you use our code acquired, A-C-Q-U-I-R-E-D, at checkout, bioclarity.com.
It's not, now I'm just making up names. It's not Theseus. It's...
I have to tell you, I downloaded an app recently to improve my memory.
Yeah.
And I forget to use it. I forget I have it.
It's someone's... Oh, he's pushing the stone up the hill and at the end of every day it goes back down and he has to keep pushing the stone. I know this. I reference it more often than I should and I cannot remember his name.
I really don't know anything about Greek mythology unless Wishbone did an episode on it. That dog that tells you stories.
The sad thing is that dog is probably dead now.
Well, obviously they probably used like 10 dogs in the filming of Wishbone.
I don't know.
I only had... I didn't get cable until I was 14, so PBS is all I had.
That's true. No, it was good.
Have you seen pictures of Will Smith as the Blue Genie?
Oh my God, it's horrifying.
Not looking good.
No, what the hell did they do to his face?
So is the Aladdin, live action Aladdin, is that a movie or is it one of those like TV events that they're doing?
I think it's a movie.
Okay. I wish they would stop doing these live musical TV events. They're so bad.
And like turning Disney movies into quote unquote live movies. First of all, they're not live because the majority of the stuff is still animated. It's just computer animated and not finger animated.
Yeah.
But they are unable still. You know, the Uncanny Valley, that phrase used to describe like how hard it is to make something not human look human. Yes. Because it tends to look dead. You can always tell something's off.
It's always the eyes.
Yeah.
And yes. If you're an artist and you're drawing a person, always the eyes are the hardest part.
And it's like the movie The Polar Express is pointed to a lot because that movie is just a creep fest.
Yeah.
And they still have not been able to make animated humans look regular.
Yeah.
And so the genie looks creepy. And especially because you know what Will Smith is supposed to look like. He just looks like a plastic dead Will Smith who's blue.
They just painted his whole body blue.
Oh, but then they still like animated part of him.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Arr. And these live musical events that they do on TV. I mean, everybody's in on it. NBC, mm-hmm. Fox, I mean, they're all doing it. It does open up a world of theater to kids,
yeah,
and people who don't necessarily have A, access to local theater in their communities, B, have ever seen a theater production.
Sure.
That value is amazing.
I agree with that 100%.
But I wish that they would just do it the same style that they used to air the play Peter Pan on PBS.
Yes, where they just swing Mary Martin back and forth from a thread.
They're just like taking video of the stage.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not supposed to be like a huge production where the camera's on stage with them. Just take video of the stage.
Like that's what they did with The Sound of Music. When they did The Sound of Music a couple of years ago, that was great. It was High School Musical cheesy, not like the movie, but like
it was Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. It was like an actual like high school musical. Mm-hmm. That was charming. But I feel like Grease was over the top because Grease was like they had camera people in amongst everyone, part of the choreography. Like it was impressive. But that's not if you're trying to do like a live theatrical event.
Yeah.
Make it theater. Make it a theater event.
Yeah. Don't water down theater.
Like, yeah, like let theater be what theater is. Don't make theater somehow less than by trying to like ooch it up.
How amazing would it be if Fox or NBC or whatever took the money that they put into these live TV productions mm-hmm. and went to 10 major cities and like shipped in school kids
yeah.
from all over the country that don't have access to local theater communities
yeah.
and then gave them tickets to it. And then one of those productions they tape and then
cool.
air it on TV.
I would say even go to not major cities. I would say like go to okay size cities that
yeah.
don't get a lot of stuff going through them, right?
I second you on this.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
When did we become theater critics?
I know, but we're very good at
it. We're very opinionated
on
this.
Very good at it.
I have to apologize to you for something.
What's wrong?
That just went on.
What's up?
I just ate salmon in your kitchen.
You did eat salmon in my kitchen.
Okay, so Bethany doesn't eat fish and not because of the vegetarian thing. I think you would be a pescatarian if you liked fish, right?
Yeah, probably. I just don't like fish.
And
when people are like, you just haven't had the right fish. No, go to hell. I have tried many fish.
Do we need to take you to a fish tasting?
I've been.
Let's go to a fish market and you can sample.
Fresh or not, fish tastes like fish and the texture is a really specific texture and I don't like it.
No, you need to come over to my house for some delicious cod.
You don't live on the coast. It's not like you catch
I live
it.
On You're the Hudson River.
That is the Hudson River is the not safest of all the fish.
So let's go visit your mom in Florida and order some cod down there. I'm telling you, it's not fishy fish. So I was eating salmon and I feel really bad because Bethany's cats are into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very smelly. It's like when somebody goes to the office microwave and heats up last night's curry.
Oh.
And you're sitting at your desk and you're like, bleh.
Or when someone is like, I'm going to eat all of this delicious popcorn and you really want some because it smells amazing, but you can't have any because you're a cat.
Yeah. Or somebody did once yell at me for eating a tuna fish sandwich at my desk. And I don't think eating a tuna fish sandwich is that rude.
No, because it's not that smelly, is
and
it?
And you're not heating anything up.
No.
And I was really upset. I started crying. I couldn't believe it over a tuna fish sandwich.
Were they hurtful in the way that they chastised your tuna?
Yes, I believe so.
That's messed up.
But yeah.
That's hurtful.
I'm sorry for eating salmon.
No, you know what? It's okay. Like
I'll get you a Glade plug-in.
It's great. It's more important for me that you're getting your omega-3s.
Thank you.
And I feel like you are
Thank
when you.
You
have your fish. What kind of fish was it?
It was salmon.
It was a salmon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. And you had some spinach. I saw some spinach in there.
Do you eat sushi?
Yeah. That's different for some reason. It's okay. But I also eat like the sushi that's just covered in rice and cream cheese, not the sushi that's like one piece of fish on a piece of rice.
Oh, sashimi.
Right. That's where's the cheese in that? I need a good cream cheese filling.
So you like a Philadelphia roll?
I do. And when I lived in Texas, I actually got into sushi finally through the Dallas roll that was at this place called Zushi Sushi that got shut down by the government. But it was like sushi covered in maple syrup with cream cheese on it. It was just like the most bastardized form of sushi you could think of. And there was like some tempura. Oh, so good.
I hear that Dallas is an excellent place to break into the sushi circuit.
Yeah, they have real fresh, real fresh sushi.
They say you should never eat sushi on Mondays because Mondays are, they don't get fresh fish deliveries until Tuesdays.
Oh.
That's from bless his heart, RIP, Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
Kitchen Confidential. He always said fish on Tuesdays.
Gotcha.
If my memory serves me correct, and as we know, my memory is not very good.
It might not. So, nope, not Polonius. That's different.
All right. So it's definitely Greek or Roman.
I think it's Greek.
I don't know what the difference is.
It's not. It's
that's a joke. I know what the difference is.
We are always talking about taking care of yourself, taking care of your body and your brain. And a big part of that is making health and wellness a top priority every single day. And that's why our podcast has partnered with Care Of. They're a monthly subscription vitamin service. Whether you're focused on glowing skin, boosting your energy levels, getting more sleep, or being healthy overall, Care Of can help you build a vitamin routine that is perfect for you and your health goals.
I love taking my Care Of vitamins because it's like a little bit of me time during the day. You know, typically people will work out in the morning or work out at night and all the in-between stuff, which is like work. I pause, I get myself a glass of water, and I take my Care Of vitamins, and it feels like I'm treating myself right because it's a lifestyle choice. I know that I'm giving my body everything that it needs. And Care Of is so easy to subscribe to. All you have to do is go online, answer their fun quiz. The quiz is all about you.
Yeah, we love to talk about ourselves. And it only takes about 5 minutes. And like for me, I found out that my vitamin D is usually pretty low, especially in the winter because I get bummed out in the winter.
Yeah.
Vitamin D helps a lot with that. And so one of the things Care Of said is we're going to include vitamin D supplements in your pack.
90% of people fall short of FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient. That's too much. 90% of people.
That's the majority.
And on top of it, after you sign up for your Care Of subscription, which is tailored exactly what you need, they're like, hey, are you thinking about having a baby? Are you pregnant? Like, are you tired in the afternoon? Like, do you need a boost of energy in the morning? They ask you these really in-depth questions and they make a vitamin packet that feels like your mother put it together for you.
Yeah, and she even wrote your name on it.
Yeah, she did.
And a portion of every sale goes toward the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. They also have vegan and vegetarian supplement options too to match your dietary needs.
Bethany and I both take our Care Of vitamins. We want you to join our team. So to do that, you've got to take advantage of this month's special New Year offer for 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and enter the code TASTE50 when you're checking out. Again, to get 50% off of your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter the code TASTE50, T-A-S-T-E, and the numbers 50 to get this special offer.
Okay.
Okay.
Time for some advice.
All right. Listener advice.
She says it's okay to use her name, but I don't want to risk it.
Let's change it. Let's change her name to Persephone.
Persephone. Still can't. I think I'm gonna have to Google it, but I feel like that's a personal failure.
Tell me again. You're trying to remember.
I'm trying to remember the name of this story in mythology. I believe it's Greek mythology, where the guy has to push the rock up the hill, up the mountain every single day. It's a Sisyphus. Sisyphus.
I was about to say Paul Walker pushing the rock.
Sisyphus.
To do more and do better.
Every day.
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus. Oh, thank God.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. It's used to describe like anytime you're doing a thing that just feels like it's insurmountable and it's never going to get done. And like you keep, it feels like you're just doing the same thing over and over again, or it's like an impossible task. Sisyphus.
Did Sisyphus ever get the rock up the mountain?
No, he's still pushing it to this day.
Is that where the nickname Sissy comes from? Don't be a sissy?
I don't think so.
I want to believe that it does.
I mean, because he's actually probably not. He's very strong. He's been pushing a rock up a mountain his entire life.
I'm going to Google this.
Through all of eternity.
Where does the name Sissy come from?
The answer is diminutive of Cecilia, Francis, or Priscilla. It can also be taken from the nickname, which originated as a nursery form of the word sister.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's not what we want.
Huh.
I want the, like, the derogatory term of Sissy.
I don't think it's probably not. It's probably one of those things where you find out and you're like, well, that's racist or misogynistic or just generally awful.
Do you think Sissy Spacek had a tough time growing up because her name was Sissy?
Probably.
Maybe her name is Priscilla.
Or Cecilia.
Mm. I never thought about that before.
I didn't either.
I always just imagined that her name was Sissy.
Hey, Alexa, what's Sissy Spacek's real name?
Sorry.
She knows all of the specifics of this first season of True Detective, but she doesn't know Sissy Spacek's first name.
Let's see what the Googles say. Sissy, a pejorative term, especially in the U.S., for an effeminate boy or man with connotations of being homosexual or cowardly.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. Sissy, derived from sister. Oh, okay.
So it is derogatory against women and gay people.
Also, sissy baby, sissy boy, sissy man, sissy pants is a pejorative term for a boy or man who does not conform to male gender stereotypes.
Yeah.
So it's from sister.
That sucks.
Well, I would like to think that it's from Greek mythology.
So we're going to just stop calling people sissies if you haven't already, but I hope you have because that, ugh. No more. All right. This is from who?
Persephone.
All right. Hey, ladies. Sup, girl?
Hey, Persephone.
Okay. She's a fan. She says, this is my first time reaching out, but I've been silently listening since the beginning, and your podcast has been a friend during this hard time. The below message I typed and have sat on for a while, and I've decided to send it off, even if it's just to let someone know what I'm going through.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you, darling. I'm having a hard time for a long time over something so stupid, and I'm crumbling. This isn't a marriage problem. This isn't career problems. It's not about a fight. This is a problem with my own internal thoughts. So I guess to start, my best friend moved out of town almost 2 years ago. We did everything together and spent most of our time outside of work together. It felt like we were more like sisters than just friends. She moved to be closer to her sister, who was having her first child, as well as her parents and extended family. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard and it still is hard, but I fully support her and understand why she needed to do this. However, since she moved, as well as before she moved, whenever we talk, she will inevitably make a comment about how I need to move down there too and how she misses me and wishes I was there. I've said on several occasions that I'm not moving. My life is here and my family is here. She moved to a giant support system of her parents, her sister and brother-in-law, more than a dozen aunts, uncles, cousins each, and all of her grandparents, more than 30 people, whereas I only have my parents, my sister and grandfather, 5 people, that's it. And if I were to move, I'd be leaving my small support system just for her. I don't think she realizes how hard that would be for me or even realize it's not what I want. The more she brings this up, the harder it gets for me. These past 2 years have been the most difficult of my life. Besides my family, I've been alone since she left. I've barely seen any of my other friends, let alone talk to them. I haven't told her any of this because I don't want her to feel guilty for leaving because she shouldn't. None of this is her fault. But she left this huge hole in my life and I don't know what to do. I think 2 years of loneliness is catching up to me, which leads up to the other factor of this horrible weekend. I've come to a realization that I have no other friends. No one else to hang out with, no one else to text. I have people in my life, but I hardly see them. When I do see them, I have to be the one who reaches out. I have to be the one setting up the activity, date, time, and place. I have to be the one to initiate contact. I have to be the one to ask how people are doing. No one ever reaches out to me first. It's a difficult thing to realize that you're everyone else's last thought or not even a thought at all, even when it comes to my family. And an even worse thought, to not know how to fix it. I don't know what else to do other than continue being the one who reaches out to everyone, but it's upsetting and hurtful that I seem to want to be in everyone else's lives more than they want to be in mine. I'm probably just being selfish and these thoughts and feelings are completely blown out of proportion, but I'm in it now and it sucks. Now that I've typed this out, I don't even know if there's any advice to give or if I just needed to vent. If for whatever reason this makes it onto your podcast, use my name, that's okay. With love, Persephone.
Well, I'm so sad.
What are your thoughts, Kathleen?
So here's the thing. I think that Persephone's friend, when she's like, I miss you so much, move down here. I don't think she's really inviting Persephone to move down there.
Correct. That's what I think as well.
I think she's just being really nice. And I think that Persephone, does it sound like she's putting a little bit of the blame on her friend for her loneliness?
It sounds, I think she's taking the move down here as sort of an insult in that, like, her friend thinks that she would pick everything up and move.
Yeah.
She doesn't mean that. She means it's sort of a way to break the tension.
Yeah.
And
it's just something people say.
Yeah. Like, I have,
like, how are you? And they don't even care how you're doing.
And like, I move far away from a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of people that when I see them, I'm like, oh, you need to move to New York. And I don't actually expect them to uproot their entire life and move to New York.
Yeah.
I'm saying it as in, that's how badly I miss you, is that I would love it if you would move to New York.
Yes.
But I don't actually expect you to. So I think you're getting really upset over something that's not intended. She's not expecting you to move away from your support system to join hers.
And give your support system a little bit of credit. I come from a really small family. Basically, it was my parents, my brother, and my grandma. And that was it. And I have a family on the other side of the country who I love dearly, but they weren't a part of my everyday life. I don't know what it's like to have a big family with mm-hmm. lots of people who check in on you regularly. Like, I just had the people that lived in my house.
Yeah.
And my grandma down the block.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, Persephone, your support system, because they're smaller, is less valuable.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I understand you not wanting to leave your family because you're one of five people in this network and your friend has like 30 people down there, but I don't know, like, give your family some credit.
And, you know, you make it sound a little bit like your family maybe isn't necessarily there for you. Yes, it sucks that your friend moved. It really does. And I don't want to diminish that. But you also do need to take some accountability for broadening your friend group then.
Yeah.
And finding new families, so to speak.
Doesn't Bumble allow you to sign up for friend services now?
I think so.
Yeah. You don't have to date on Bumble. You can find friends on Bumble.
Yeah.
And that's actually really cool.
I think it's great. And look, if the people in your life aren't living up to what you think friends or family should be, you have to take the initiative to find new people. And it can be really hard. I know we have so many listeners that finding friendships is tough.
Yeah.
Especially in certain cities, in certain parts of the country. Like, if people never really move away from home, like in Minnesota, it's really hard to make friends because people grow up there and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had their friend group since elementary school,
yeah,
basically.
And if you're a newbie, it's like, how do you break into this friend group?
It's really, really tough. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. And you do have to take some accountability for finding those friends then. Your friend gets to move away. It's sad, but it's a choice she made and it's time to move on.
Yeah. And you know what? I have friends that I talk to every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who we call each other every single day.
That sounds exhausting.
And
that sounds exhausting.
Like two or three. And then
that's
have
three phone calls a day. Oh my God.
And then I have friends who I never talk to on the phone. We only text each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have friends who I only see two times a year, three times a year. It doesn't mean that one friend is a better friend than another. It just means that certain friends are woven into the everyday fabric of your life and some friends are not.
Yep.
And I really feel for Persephone saying that she's always the one to have to initiate the hangouts. That does suck.
Yes.
But it just means that maybe you've fallen off your friends' radar. It doesn't mean that they like you any different. It just means that perhaps the friends that are woven into the fabric of your other friends' everyday lives, they're the ones who are always front and center because they're the ones that text the other person first thing in the morning.
I also am curious, like, when you do hang out with these friends, with these other friends, what is it that you talk about?
Like, do you have a good time?
Yeah. Or again, it's just from one email, but if you find yourself talking a lot about like this other friend, they may be a little bit tired of hearing it. And and I'm just making that hypothetical
mm-hmm.
statement. Like, I'm guessing you don't just sit and talk about your friend, but it's worth thinking, you know, is there anything that I'm doing that maybe it's time to move onward and upward and maybe a fresh start?
And Persephone feels a little bit down.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it sounds like she's feeling down. And if you show up to hang out with these friends, if you're kind of like the Debbie Downer, like the wah, wah, like, yeah, they're not jumping at the bit to call you or text you or invite you to hang out. I'm just putting out possible scenarios out there.
It's also very likely that you show up to these parties and you're, or to these friend hangouts, and you're great and you're cheerful and you're lovely and you're fun.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then maybe it is just time to find some other people who you haven't outgrown or who serve you better as friends.
No, and like, save some money and buy some plane tickets, or, you know, mm-hmm. buy some gas and drive to see your best friend a couple of times a year. Like, plan these trips so you have something to look forward to. My best friend doesn't live near me. She lives an hour and 45 minutes away from me, but I don't see her every month. I see her every other month. Maybe sometimes we'll go 4 months without seeing each other. That doesn't mean we're not close friends anymore.
Right.
It just means that distance sometimes gets in the way.
And one of my best friends lives, I mean, it's a long distance friendship too. She lives on the Upper West Side. And I live
that's not long distance.
I live down here. We see
Stop
each
it.
Other.
You're in the same city.
Once a month. Have you ever tried to go to the Upper West Side? It's really hard.
I have. It's a pain.
Upper East Side is even worse. I would never see. There's no direct train route.
Stop it, Bethany.
So Persephone, I understand completely what you're going through.
These are people that live in the same city as you, Bethany.
The train, the MTA does not like our friendship.
No, no, I'm drawing the line there. Persephone, make some new friends. It sounds like you sort of need a fresh start.
Yeah.
It just takes one
or
two or three. You don't need a lot. Join a book club.
Join a something club.
Like, there's a ton of meetups out there for people who are also looking for adult friendships.
Yep.
I mean, make a sign, stand on a street corner. I hear that.
Don't do that.
No.
Nope. Don't do that.
Like, what if you're like, I'll give you a nickel if you'll be my friend?
That's bribery. You can't base a friendship on bribery, especially not such a cheap one. I mean, Persephone is worth way more than 5 cents.
Persephone, I think you need to cheer up. I know it's not that easy.
I know it's not that easy. I think it's time. I think it's time to shake off all of the like frustration and the, you know,
just like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Just like in that music video. Shake it off. Shake it off.
Taylor Swift. Onward and upward.
Go listen to 1989. Invite someone over to listen to it with you, but not a stranger.
No.
Not to your home.
Please don't take the majority of that advice. Don't stand on a corner. Like, bad things happen on corners.
Do you know what's a really great way to meet friends? Okay. So if you like a podcast or a blog, a lot of online, like, okay, I follow a blog and there's a fan page.
Yeah.
And you can write on the fan page, hey, any other readers in here from, I don't know, New Jersey?
That's great.
Like, do you want to get brunch on Sunday?
We've had listeners do that.
Of course, we've had listeners do that with our podcast. I like this blog, Cupcakes and Cashmere. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Yeah, she has her own clothing line too. And she just posted that readers of the Cupcakes and Cashmere blog got together in New York City over the weekend to have brunch. And they already have something in common because they're exactly. A certain type of person likes the blog Cupcakes and Cashmere.
Yeah. And if you run out of things to talk about.
Cashmere Cupcakes. I can never remember what it is.
which one comes first. Yeah. Yeah. And there's always something to talk about. So that's another good idea. We have an amazing fan page for Acquired Taste Podcast. Jump on the fan page and be like, hey, I live here. Don't give your address, just your city. And see if anyone else is nearby.
Absolutely.
You know, who knows? Whoever knows. Not I.
Stand on a street corner with a sign.
Don't.
No. I take it back. Danger, stranger.
Stranger, danger.
Stranger, danger.
I like danger, stranger.
My brain is so messed up.
Danger, stranger sounds like a superhero. Another superhero.
I'll take it.
Who was the first superhero? Oh, Floralux. Floralux and danger, stranger.
Let me tell you about Zola.
Tell me about Zola.
I'm so mad that Zola didn't exist when I was getting married because it would have made my job so much easier.
Ugh. One of the reasons that I'm reticent to get married is because just then you have to plan a wedding and that sounds exhausting.
Don't worry. I will be your wedding planner and your maid of honor and your groomsman and your ring bearer.
Thank you. It's going to be a while, by the way.
So Zola is a wedding company that will do anything for love, and it's reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in a couple's lives even happier. From the engagement to the wedding to decorating your first home together, Zola is there.
So let's do a mind experiment. Let's do a thought experiment.
Okay.
You get engaged.
Yes.
And now you're like, uh-oh, I have to plan a wedding, and you are the world's laziest person.
Yeah, that was okay. Me.
I am going to walk you through now how Zola is going to make this so much easier for you. First of all, Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and your register. Over 500,000 couples have used Zola. You can make your free wedding website.
Free?
Free. Your dream wedding registry, all of the affordable save the dates and invitations, easy use planning tools, all online in one place. So that's easy thing number one.
Wait, all of those things?
In one place.
At Zola.com.
Uh-huh. Number two, the wedding website. It's free. Over 100 beautiful website designs to choose from. So you don't have to be like, I need to learn how to code now.
Yeah.
Nope. Just pick a layout. I like this one. All right, here we go. There's an FAQ section. So if people want to ask annoying questions about your wedding, like, can I bring my kids? There's just an easy way for you to say no, never. And you can put your dream registry up at Zola. It has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points, from your poor friend from college to your super rich uncle who only comes to weddings and then gives you like a car.
Mm-hmm.
And over 500 top brands from OXO and Cuisinart to Sonos and Airbnb.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you can Airbnb on your registry for for your honeymoon.
My very favorite part of this is that after you get married,
yeah,
whatever is left on your registry that people didn't buy you, you get 20% off those remaining gifts.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome.
I still don't have a full set of plates.
Well, time to get remarried.
I really wish that Zola was around when I was doing all this registry business, because Zola lets you register at multiple places, yeah, and it's all in one spot. Your guests just go to your Zola profile and they can see all of your information right there.
Easy for you, easy for them. Great for lazy people like me. So to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry, go to Zola.com/taste. Again, to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/taste. That's Zola.com/taste.
You can also get plane tickets on Zola.
Yeah, maybe someone can buy you a plane.
You can get Hulu on Zola.
Oh!
Bethany.
Yeah, cough line.
Before we do, I would love this one. I just want to tell you about this crazy story I read on the internets this morning.
Is it about chocolate rain? Did you see that video?
No. What are you talking about, chocolate rain?
It's from like 2001. I'm just kidding.
Is Prince
chocolate rain
back from the dead? Oh, no, that's raspberry rain. No, that's raspberry
that's purple
beret.
Rain and right. Raspberry. Shame on you. Shame on you.
I'm sorry.
Shame, shame, Sisyphus.
The artist formerly known as...
No, that's not why I'm mad.
Prince. Do you think he'll haunt me? Because he'll say it again three times.
I hope he does. I miss him.
Okay, so I get this newsletter every day. It's from thelily.com. If you're not visiting thelily.com every day, you should be, because it's a fabulous website, which is like news and general events. Keep yourself in the know. Do you have any plans to go to Uganda?
I mean... No.
Okay.
Well, should I?
So countries that want to attract more tourists, they have a ministry of tourism.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they come up with crazy schemes to get people to show up.
Sure. Like Florida. Our beaches are great, but our criminals are creative.
Yeah, they're crazy. So Uganda's ministry of tourism created this idea for a beauty contest called Miss Curvy Uganda.
Uh-oh.
Which is fine. That's cool. You want to do a beauty contest. I mean, I'm not... into beauty contests.
No, me either, but all right.
But if you're size inclusive,
okay,
giving, you know, a spotlight to the curvy woman.
Sure.
Okay, that's okay with me.
Uh-huh.
But here comes the really gross part.
Uh-huh.
After this big beauty contest, they want to add curvy and sexy women as one of the country's official attractions.
What year is it? Tell me.
I think it's 2019.
So it's not 1955?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
I was just checking.
The Minister of Tourism said that women ages 18 to 35 are eligible to participate.
Oh, great. So we have a specific age range of what a curvy woman should be.
And he said, we have naturally endowed, nice looking women that are amazing to look at.
Oh, God. Can you talk to them or are they just amazing to look at? Do they have a brain in their head? How many listeners have we lost so far?
Obviously, this has sparked outrage from women's rights and activist groups all over the world and, you know, over the country of Uganda. They're saying that it demeans women. It completely destroys their integrity. Yes.
Come to our country to look at our ladies.
And whomever comes back and says, but they're celebrating curvy body types. Isn't that what you wanted? No.
No.
Because... valuing a woman, telling people to come to this country to look at these curvy women, it basically makes women a form of entertainment when they're not asking to be a form of entertainment.
That was very well said, Kathleen.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Women, we would just rather you not talk about our bodies in general, because we're probably thinking about them enough as it is, and we would like to talk about other things.
Would you visit a country that was like... I shouldn't be laughing at this. What I'm about to say is a double standard. Would you visit a country, let's say Switzerland, was like, come visit us. Our men have the biggest penises.
No, I mean, I know, because I would legitimately be so uncomfortable. And also, I don't want to go to a country and just look at, I don't want to just see penises everywhere.
Can you imagine a tourism board for whatever country was like, come and crotch gaze. When you visit our country, it's one of our finest attractions.
I think an attraction should be like a show that people have to work really hard to put on.
Or a beautiful river.
A beautiful river that was made by nature. Or, you know, like a building that is still standing that shouldn't be. Look at how amazing that is. You know, a lady.
They're the world's largest slice of pizza.
Great.
Biggest ball of yarn.
Something that had to be worked towards. Like just the... my favorite thing is when someone starts following me on social media and I know that they are diametrically opposed to me in terms of how they view the world.
Yeah.
And they follow me and I'm like, oh, you're about to get real mad and you're about to unfollow me real fast.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's good. They didn't do their research before they followed me.
Life is too short to have followers.
In general.
Who don't accept or believe in tolerance.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
I think that's the nicest way I can put it.
I tweeted something about human rights over the weekend and got unfollowed by like 100 people.
Oh my God.
And Dennis was like, that's great, you're decluttering, which I thought was a perfect way to put it.
They don't spark joy.
They don't spark joy.
I wanted to post a Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote this morning about marriage. It's not about politics, but the screen grab that I took from the internet has her photo on it. And I thought people are just going to unfollow this based on her photo alone without reading any of the words that are underneath it.
Yep.
And I think I'm still going to post it.
You should.
Yeah.
She's a great lady.
It applies to Valentine's Day week. And this is Valentine's Day week.
Happy Valentine's week. Happy Valentine's week, day, week, by the way.
Yes. Commercial holiday.
Yep. Kathleen, what did you learn this week? Do you want me to go first?
Can you go first?
Yeah, of course. So I got a good tip because I am working on decluttering, speaking of decluttering. And I was told by the boyfriend that one really good way to declutter is to take out everything of that thing that you have.
Okay.
And lay them all next to each other. So that's a little strange sounding. So for me, I have handfuls of makeup brushes.
Oh, is that why your kitchen counter right now is just covered in makeup brushes?
Covered in makeup brushes. And I have all these makeup brushes in different places. Like I have the ones I use every day, and then I have the ones for travel, and then I have the ones that are like taking up space, and then I found some in my purse, and I found some in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I laid them all out on the counter, and I organized them by what they did. So like blush brush, foundation brush, eyeshadow brush, blah, blah, blah. And I realized I had 7 powder brushes, and I had 4 concealer brushes.
That makes sense.
Right. And I need one.
Yeah.
And one. Right. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to really see laying directly in front of you.
Yeah.
How much of this thing. And I think that's a Marie Kondo thing, but it's just a really good way to put in black and white. These are all the things I have. We did it with my kitchen utensils.
Yes.
And I had like 3 spaghetti strainers, and I don't eat that much spaghetti to begin with. I certainly don't eat 3 of them.
I'll take one of your strainers.
I already put it some good work back. But you know, so anyway, I've done
that.
Really nice way.
I've done that with kitchen mugs.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like I love a beautiful mug as a gift. I'm always so grateful, but if one mug comes in, one mug has to go out.
Yep.
Because how many cups of coffee am I going to be serving to people at any point in time?
No.
Not that many.
Not that many. No, it's like the Hunger Games of mugs.
It is.
Yeah. Who's gonna come out on top? Hi, buddy. Look, you're so unhappy. You still have 23 minutes before you get to eat, bud.
Do we ketchup, Bethany?
Yeah.
So have you ever seen on a bottle of ketchup, it says grade A?
Yes.
So grade A ketchup has to meet very strict standards and able to be labeled grade A.
Is that the same as being fancy when it says like grade A fancy ketchup?
Yes, I think so.
Oh.
So now I'm going to check every ketchup bottle that I use and see if does it say grade B or is it grade A or nothing?
Yeah, maybe it's grade A or nothing because you don't want to admit if you're grade B.
So to be labeled grade A ketchup, you must score at least 85 points on the USDA's 100-point scale.
Okay.
And the 4 criteria are flavor, color, consistency, and defects.
Okay, wait. What percentage do you have to score?
85 points.
That's a B. Isn't that a B?
That is a B.
That's a B.
You need a B to be grade A?
Yeah. All right.
But some of these things are personal preference, like color.
Yeah. Do you prefer more of an oxblood color ketchup or do you like a bright red, like a crimson, like a tomato, proper tomato?
Flavor? That's
I like a hint of smoke.
Objective.
Yeah.
Like I like a curry ketchup.
Mm-hmm. Who's to say what ketchup should taste like?
It's just weird. Now I have to go home and check my ketchup bottle because I'm not using Heinz right now. I bought a bottle of like Annie's organic ketchup or something.
I wonder what I have in the fridge right now.
Have you ever had ketchup with no sugar?
No.
It's absolute garbage.
Is it?
It's not my cup of tea. I'm sorry if you're a non-sweetened ketchup consumer. I'm sorry.
I love not my cup of tea. That's like such an old woman way to say something. Like such a passive aggressive old woman way. Well, it's not my cup of
it's
tea.
It's not my... I mean, it's like when my mom and my aunt refer to my friends as gals. She was such a nice gal.
She's a nice gal. Well, she wasn't my cup of tea.
Oh, well, the gal that does my hair.
She's a little lippy for my taste, but you know, it's fine for you. It's not my cup of tea.
In my 100 point scale system, Bethany, you rank at least 95.
Thank you.
Which is a true A.
I would like some feedback. What could I do to get the last 5 points? I would like some constructive criticism.
Well, for one, you'd fart in front of me.
No, I like, won't.
Sorry, you'll never be 100.
Sacrifice. I'd say you're a 99.9.
You can follow me at WebGirlKathleen on all social media accounts. Bethany, where can we find you?
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on everything else. I'm very excited because as of this week, we just released episode 1 of the web series I co-produced and co-wrote with my partner John and Anya. Anya Marina, Independent Woman.
Yeah.
If you go to my Twitter or Instagram, you can find links to that.
So how many episodes?
6 total.
Okay.
1 a week. So the first one is this week and then next Monday will be episode 2.
Why do you keep me waiting?
I know.
I'll have to binge them all at the end.
Follow our podcast wherever you find things to follow. Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Or Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Or Facebook, facebook.com/AcquiredTastePodcast.
You can email us at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you need a place to send mail to, if you need a place to send mail. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Truly, one of these days, Bethany and I are going to go to one of the weddings that we've been invited to, but we're not going to RSVP yes. We're just going to show up at the end for cake.
We definitely want cake. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Rate, review, and subscribe helps us so much. 5 stars would be the best. Please, please. It helps push us up in the rankings.
Wherever you listen, if it's iTunes or Spotify or Google Podcasts or Audio Boom or TuneIn or Podbeam or Anchor, we're on all of them.
Yeah.
Cast FM.
Are all of those real or did you make up some of
them? Acast.
Bartcast.
God's Plan. Oh, wait. No, that's a Drake song.
You can also leave us a voicemail, 917-994-0353. We want to know what's on your mind. We love you all very much.
Have a happy Valentine's Day week. If you don't have someone special to share it with, a galentine perhaps, or a bro-entine. Valentine.
A friend-entine.
Buy yourself something sweet. Treat yourself because you know what? Don't let anyone else dictate your life.
No, you dictate your own life.
And here's some voicemails you left us this week.
Hey, ladies. It's Danielle calling from Southern New Jersey. Just had to call Bethany. I went skiing this weekend, and this is the first time ever, other than you, of hearing of a walking taco. And don't you know, every time somebody said walking taco, I heard your voice. Walking taco, walking taco. And guess what I ordered? A walking taco.
Hey girls, I'm so happy that I adopted a cat on Friday. Her name is Lucy. She's a rescue. Her back leg was broken, so it's sort of stuck in a flex position, but she's all good, except this morning I woke up to her knocking my TV over, and it fell on the floor, and now it's broken, and I need to buy a new TV. I just wanted to share this with you ladies because I don't know who else to share this with. I'm so upset, but I love her so much.
Tastebud Emily here. And I'm just calling because I finally listened to Dennis's podcast with Bethany on. And oh my God, it was amazing. I've fallen in love with Dennis now. Now I have to go listen to more of his podcast episodes. Hello, beautiful ladies. It's Savannah. I just want to give you guys a PSA. I hope everyone has a non-slip shower mat. I fell last night in the shower and broke my eye socket. I'm actually going to have to get surgery, and I want to make sure that no one else has to go through that.
This is Jessica, and I'm a taste bud. Tomorrow is the first work week that I am not working. I quit my job because it wasn't fulfilling me and making me happy. So I've got a lot of new things going on.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. This is Caitlin from Virginia. I just wanted to say I absolutely adore you guys. And a big announcement for me today has been 3 years since I got help for my anxiety and depression. And I'm doing absolutely great. And I just want to say thank you guys for supporting mental health. Thank you guys for bringing so much joy to my life. I love you so much.
Hey, taste buds. It's tequila. And of course, we're having a sexy day because it's the sexiest day of the year. Happy Valentine's Day to all my buds. From me and my budgie pancake, we love you all. I hope that you all have a Valentine this week. And if you don't, I'm available anytime. I'll be all of your Valentines. All right, we done.